now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. Today with me, Andy Shilton.
And Hans Peregrine, coming to the show, Brickstow.
Ali's back with a My Five.
Queer Spirit.
Shocky will be talking to us about the Queer Queer Spirit Summer Festival coming up in August. God, that's a mouthful.
And the Bisons.
The Home Office have decided to deport one of their players. We'll be bringing you right up to date.
All that coming today.
Right here on Shout Out.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Bum bum bum. So I was listening to the show last week, and Lara was saying she misses the other backing.
This was the original.
Yeah, and we went back to using it this year because it was an anniversary of Queer as Folk, wasn't it?
It was 20 years since Queer as Folk was first broadcast on Channel 4.
Yeah.
Very groundbreaking series at the time.
Yeah, and this is obviously the soundtrack from
this
it.
This is, yeah, it's the theme tune.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Hello, everyone. How are we all? It's very quiet here this week.
I feel like there might
someone
be
someone missing. I know who it is. Lara. Yeah.
Lara. Hi, Lara.
Hello, Lara. How are you?
Hopefully,
sorry, Steph. We've been so mean, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, lovely Steph is away on holiday at the moment, which is why it's so quiet in here.
It is,
isn't it?
You've got to put up with me, I'm afraid.
I know. Yeah. First time presenting.
I know.
So welcome to this side of the desk.
So
presenting
exciting.
Virgin.
Yeah, the only time I've ever been called that, I think.
For presenting virgin.
Yeah. There it is.
Oh, the innuendo. So, well, I can't even tell the story about what we're talking about outside. No. It's far too rude for
and
radio.
And you were playing innuendo bingo by yourself and didn't
I know, yeah. The joys. So, anyway, we've got a really packed show coming up today. We are talking about, it was a bit of a mouthful to try and say in that, but it's the Queer Spirit Summer Festival. That's coming up in August, a little bit further up north. But yeah, and we'll be talking to one of the organisers, whose name is Shocky. And of course, it's been big in the news. It's been all over the news. About our Bison
Ken.
And of course, we've known the Bisons for years. We even live broadcast their whole Union Cup the first time they ever hosted it here in the UK. Didn't we?
Live on the radio. Radio.
They very kindly. They're actually, I think they're in Ireland.
They are. They're in Dublin this week.
So good luck. Good luck, guys. Over in Ireland,
yeah,
but their coach Ben Pickett is going to be phoning in to fill us in on all the info. And of course, Terry, you got some info for us coming up later,
A bit of background as well, very big news.
But in the meantime, it's time to catch up with our lovely friend Alid.
Fantastic.
My Five on Shout Out.
Hello and welcome to June's edition of the Brigstow My Five. You are back with me, Alid, and this month I am joined by one of our lovely volunteers, Andy. Say hello.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm a volunteer with Brigstow and also a senior peer mentor.
Fab, marvellous. It's great to have Andy. He's a lovely, lovely man. So, first off, before we get into anything kind of Brigstow related, Brigstow just want to offer their support and their thoughts with Ken and all of the Bristol Bisons with the recent news that has come to light in the Home Office denying him his leave to remain and the potential of Ken being sent back to Kenya, where it has just been passed to maintain the law to make it illegal to have gay sex, which is punishable with up to 14 years in prison. So our thoughts to Ken, any updates or whatever, if you just follow the Bisons on their Facebook page, it is all there. But there are petitions and there is everything there. So please sign, tweet to Sajid Javid and all of the people that need to be aware. So that is that. Secondly on the list this week, we just want to say a massive thank you to all our volunteers. It is National Volunteer Week, so thank you, Andy.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
And to everybody else, the volunteers are the backbone of Brixtow, and we wouldn't be able to do half of what we do without them there. So they are vital to all of the work that we do. We're always recruiting for volunteers, so if you want to break some HIV related stigma, if you want to help people living with HIV and help raise awareness, then get in contact. Go on our website or just follow us on social media and drop us a message there. So next on the agenda then, just to promote the fact, speaking of volunteers, we are looking for runners who like to run to join us on our 10K fundraiser, which we hold every year. This year it's on the 31st of August, which is a Saturday. It's going to be in Malmesbury. Brixtow will provide transport to and from the event, but we are looking for runners to help us reach our overall target of £6,000. Andy, are you going to be running?
I don't think so. I love exercise. I could watch it all day, but there's not a hell's chance of me going anywhere near it.
No. I'm saying that I'm not going to run. I barely run for a bus. So to run for fun, I don't think is going to be... I'm just not very good at it. So I will be on the Brixtow stall there, though, letting everybody know about the work that we do. So if you would like to run for us and you would like to get involved, there is plenty of time. Again, pop onto our website, brixtow.org, or go on to any one of our social media channels. And then the last thing that we just wanted to speak about today is stigma and HIV-related stigma. So medically in this country, in the UK and in Bristol, we are doing very well. We have targets set by the UN, which are the 90-90-90 targets. So that's 90% of people living with HIV knowing their status. So knowing that they're positive, 90% of those people who know they're positive being on effective treatment, and then 90% of those people on treatment being undetectable. Now, in Bristol in the UK, we are reaching those targets. But now the thoughts are, what could potentially the fourth 90 be? And that conversation there, and that is improving the health and well-being of people living with HIV. And for that, we need to dramatically reduce stigma, I would say, in this country for that to happen. Andy, stigma.
Fortunately, it's still a huge, huge issue. And it's not just out in the general population. I personally have had, not a run-in, but I've had a difficult situation with a consultant at one of the hospitals. Asking me directly about my HIV status in detail. And I genuinely felt that I didn't get the level of service that I deserved. And for the first time in 20 plus years, by the time I left the hospital, I was actually feeling pretty crap about myself.
Yes, and stigma can have that effect. And you can be diagnosed and live with your diagnosis for a long time, and for a remark or a statement made by certain individuals, it can really
knock you back. Well, for me personally, it's 30 years since diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I've got pretty thick skin when it comes to it. But it's that little one-off comment that can catch you off guard, that it can ruin your day.
Yes, it really, really, really can. And it is, it's really impactful and negatively impactful on people's lives and their confidence, their self-worth, their empowerment and everything else that comes about to it. So you've obviously seen in the press, we've done some work with Avon and Somerset Police. We've also recently done some work with Southmead Hospital as well. So if anybody there is living with HIV, anybody listening, or if anybody listening knows someone who is living with HIV, if you have been a victim of discrimination which is directly linked to your HIV status, then we want to know. We know it probably happens a lot more than we think happens, but it just doesn't get talked about. People don't feel confident enough to report. You can remain anonymous with us. We will put in complaints on your behalf, but we really want to start making changes to policy, to social attitudes with surrounding HIV. And it can be from any kind of app or on an individual one-to-one level, but it can also be from the people that you may not expect it. So teachers, hospitals, GP surgeries, dentists, receptionists, anything like that. Please do contact us. Tattooists and piercers as well. You know, if they've refused to tattoo you or pierce you because you are HIV positive, they are breaking the law.
And the thing is, by you coming forward, it can, as Ala just said, it can be completely anonymous, but by you speaking up, you can make it better. If it's just for one person who hasn't got to go through it, it's very much appreciated. So don't be afraid, come forward, please.
Yes, please do come forward. Drop us an email, drop us a little form that you can find on our website. So our website is www.brigstow.org, or get in contact with us via any of our social medias. So that's Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook and Twitter, it's at Brigstow Info, and on Instagram, it's at Brigstow. But that is all from us this month. Join us next month in July, which no doubt we will probably be talking all things Pride. But until then, have a lovely time. Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout-out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
There you go, that's a boom boom bar. I know, I played that a few weeks ago, but I love that song. That's by Matisse. And it was made famous by a series called Dead Like Me. And then that's how I found it, because I've been watching it again on Amazon Prime.
So, I do like it.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
It is, very cool.
It's kind of a nice, chilled, summery kind of thing, so... So he's nodding very with nice. Approval there, Terry. It's
yes, it is nice and chilled, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Nice for sitting outdoors.
Yeah, I was just I've got all nice sorts.
Putting your feet up.
I've got one for Steph coming up.
Ooh. So you did remember she wasn't here, really?
Well, I'd never forget Steph, really, do
I? Is that on gramophone record, is it? Sorry, Steph! Right, that's me fired.
Anyway, it's been called a spirited love fest like no other, transformative, with quotes saying things like, it changed my life. Mm. I'm very pleased to say on the end of the phone, we have Shockey. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Now, firstly, welcome to Shout Out. It's very nice of you to join us. We're talking to you about the Queer Spirit Summer Festival. I won't lie, it's the first time I've ever heard of it, but yeah. You have been going a little while, haven't you?
This is, in fact, our third festival. Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me along to speak about it. We've run the festival twice before, 2016 and 2017, at a site in Wiltshire.
Right. You're a bit further up north for this one, aren't you?
That's right, we're in the east side, we're further east, we're not so far north, we're in Northamptonshire, just quite close to Milton Keynes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, we've got an exciting new site, and we're hoping the festival will be a little larger this time. We had about 400 people at each of the first two festivals.
Wow.
So we've got a pretty good idea what to expect. And you know, we're looking forward to running it again.
So give us an idea, because I hadn't heard of it until it came across our desk. What kind of thing can I expect if we come along to it?
Okay, so it's like a baby mini festival. Everything that you would expect to find at a classic summer festival is there. In miniature and in very queer form.
it sounds like my ideal festival. It sounds like an LGBTQ to WOMAD. I'm in. And it's my birthday weekend, so...
Oh, dear. Yeah, this is kind of persuading you a bit, isn't it, Hannah?
Yeah, I don't need much persuading. I'm in.
So we have, you know, camping. People have to bring their own camping gear unless they splash out for glamping. Mm-hmm. We have some very nice glamping set up on offer. And then you make your way to explore the festival. Everything is there, cafes, workshops, campaigns areas, ceremonies, dance parties, bands, performers, poets, drumming, fire circles. Sacred Sexuality Temple is one of our very popular features too.
Oh, right, okay.
Tell us more.
Sacred Sexuality Temple, run by Amanda Gaylove and a phenomenal team, holds workshops every day, all kinds of workshops on offer, and then in the evenings there's usually a play party, which commences with some kind of facilitated ritual, leading into a play party. So that's the adult-only area of the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the rest of the festival is very family-friendly. We really encourage queer families along. We have a kids' area, lots of workshops on offer for them.
So is it, I'm getting visions, I mean, because obviously the most well-known festival is the one down in Glastonbury. Obviously yours is a bit smaller, but can we expect things like, is there a stage? Are there people performing on it? And
yeah, so there's a big marquee with a performance programme every lunchtime and every evening. Late night, there's DJs going into the night, and we also have an adult-only cabaret on the Friday night. So everything going on there.
So does it begin on the Friday and finish on the Sunday night, Monday morning?
It actually begins on the Wednesday, the 14th of August, in the afternoon. It's a five-day affair, but it is okay to just come for the weekend. Mm-hmm. It finishes on Sunday afternoon. So if you're coming for the weekend, it's worth to get there by Friday so you get to full night.
Yeah.
Cool. So how does it work? Is it a ticket per day, or can you buy like 2 days or 5 days? Or
you can buy a 2 day ticket or a 5 day ticket, basically. And there are concession tickets available as well.
Marvellous.
Fabulous.
Definitely sounds like a fun thing.
To me, it sounds sort of like there's a lot of spirituality going on. Is it sort of like a pagan-y kind of festival, or are you open to people of other faith backgrounds and perhaps of no faith?
I'd say pagan with a small p.
Yeah.
It's nature-based. It's about coming together in nature. It's not about it's about queer spirit. It's not a queer pagan camp. It's a queer spirit camp. So it's really bringing together many, many facilitators, activists, performers, working in lots of branches of queer spirituality. For example, Nick Kinch runs the Games Mindfulness Group in London. Has been doing that for a long time. He will be running our meditation temple.
Fabulous.
At the festival. We have Kirtan, and I think we have Jewish devotional singing alongside pagan singing around the fire. So it's all together. I believe that's what we queers do. You know, we unite.
Bring it all together,
I think it's amazing that there's actually a festival out there just for, you know, well, LGBTQ plus people, because actually I didn't even know that existed. So not only do people generally feel accepted, more so maybe at festivals than they would in their everyday lives, but now there's a space for the LGBTQ plus spiritual community.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the spiritual angle... you know, this is not a hedonistic festival. This is not a rave up. It's when you mention Glastonbury and so forth. Yeah, it looks like those festivals, but maybe it doesn't get quite as messy as those festivals.
That sounds good to me.
Not to say that people, you know, can't enjoy themselves. Mm. People are welcome. We don't have a bar there, but people can bring their own alcohol if they wish. We're not puritanical about this. but, you know, people are coming there. On the whole, the crowded attracts is a crowd that wants to explore connection, community, love, awareness, growth, magic, consciousness, ritual, ecstasy, natural ecstasy. That's our aim.
Cool. So what's the plan? Because obviously you've moved from one place to another. Is this a festival you intend to kind of move around the country each year? Or
I think it will be a biannual festival. It's a lot of work to put on every year.
Yeah, they're not small things to put on, are they?
It's still early days, so who knows? We may eventually find ourselves the regular home, but at this stage it's still growing. This is a festival with lots of room for growth. Yeah, as you quoted some of the feedback from the previous festivals at the start, and I mean, that's genuine stuff. That really, it is really is that remarkable.
Yeah, some fantastic quotes here from people.
Open-hearted queers in a field together, and a lot of magic happens.
So, I mean, there's even people who have said it changed my life, which is lovely. Yeah. So. Yeah. But yeah, connected, accepted, belonging, utterly 100% accepted and celebrated for who I am was one of the other quotes. It's, you know, lovely quotes. You must be very proud to hear things like that.
Yeah. Indeed. I mean, to me, we are making space for the missing element of the LGBT liberation journey, or the next step, if you like. We've been on this journey of sexuality, politics and social emancipation for several decades. But the religious question and the religious issues around us continue. And I believe that, you know, it's the missing element of our story is to embrace spiritual liberation, which indeed, you know, involves transcending the differences of dogmatic religion. I mentioned religious devotional practice there, the singing and so forth, chanting, but other than that, religions don't really get a look in at the festival. This is about magic, about the elements, about animal spirits. We'll have shamanic journeying. We'll have workshops on witchcraft, on astrology, tantric things going on in the temple. You know, it's exploring without the big G word.
And I did notice as well, vegetarian and vegan cafes.
Yeah, I know. So if I wasn't going before, I'd
definitely be there now.
Hashtag team vegan.
So well, listen, Shockey, it's been lovely to talk to you. And I really do hope the festival's a very big success. Very, very quickly, if people want to buy tickets or find out more, are you online? Do you have a website?
It's queerspirit.net. We have presence on Facebook, Queer Spirit Group, Queer Spirit UK, on Twitter and Instagram.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, we'll do what we always do. We'll make sure that we put the links up along with the podcast on our website when it goes up later on. But thank you very much for calling in to tell us about it. And if we can, we'll have to... I mean, if you go, Hannah, you'll have to take a microphone have a chat with some people.
Please, I've whetted your appetite.
I'm pleased too. Thank you very much. It's been lovely talking to you.
Cool.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You
lovely queers.
Have a great day. Thank you. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
There you go. That's The Race. And that is a remix version. That's by Trey Love. That's for Stefan Lynn.
Yeah, that's enough to get anyone up and dancing at a bar.
Yeah, well, they'd be doing a lot of driving. So,
Stefan's.
Yeah. Yeah, if I know Lynn, she's probably got through three books on the way down there. But yeah, they're texting us photos of them drinking like gin and tonic next to a lovely sunset at the moment. We're not jealous at all.
Not one bit.
It's pretty changeable, isn't it, at the moment in the UK?
Yeah, and in the middle of the night tonight, about 2 o'clock, apparently the heavens are going to open up and it's going to absolutely pelt it down for the next 48 hours. I'm sorry to say, not clear enough until Saturday afternoon.
Right, well, that's good, useful to
know. And if you're listening on the podcast and I got that wrong, I do apologise. that's what it says at the moment.
I said the Met Office try to do quite a good job, but they don't always get it right.
No, and the further away it is as well, the more inaccurate it tends to be.
It's a chaotic system, isn't it?
But
that's what they call it.
Anyway, talking of things going on outside there in the real world, it's time to get some news headlines.
It is. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 6th of June.
Have you ever come across ex-gays? They are marginal in the United Kingdom, but form a considerable part of the anti-gay ideology in the United States conservative Christian regions. They also claim to be former gay people who have been reprocessed into heterosexuals by the influence of religious deliverance. Although they have no evidence to back up these claims and are considered to be deluded by most gay activists and all credible mental health organisations, they are also, of course, perfectly at liberty to believe this. After all, the United States has a lot of, shall we say, politely, fringe political opinions. The organised ex-gay groups usually claim that all they want to do is live peacefully side by side with other LGBT people and citizens. However, evidence unearthed by the Newswire Gay Star News suggests that they are all they are much more dangerous than previously considered. In Uganda, admittedly a state where there is little freedom of assembly or expression, local gay, ex-gay activists have been lobbying for the government to impose a state-sanctioned murder of LGBT people. The country already incredibly prejudiced against gay people and extremist views are common amongst the population, as the BBC Radio's Scott Mills discovered in an acclaimed documentary made in 2013. A 2014 bill that would have imposed mandatory death penalty was struck down on a technicality by the Constitutional Court. However, a group of self-styled ex-gays are also calling on the government to reintroduce the world's most fanatical legislation against the community. They are apparently have the ear of the parliamentary speaker, who is also known for making bizarre homophobic outbursts. International human rights groups are watching the situation closely and with concern.
A woman calling herself Posy Parker has launched a series of posters apparently designed to offend trans people. She plans to distribute a series of self-adhesive stickers saying trans women are men and most have a penis. Ms. Parker belongs to a small branch of feminism, usually known as separatism, which does have a long history of activity designed to disrupt the wider LGBT rights movement. Back in the 1980s, in a period sometimes known as the lesbian sex wars, extremists targeted women who were into traditional butch femme lesbian culture or the S&M scene. The antics of the extremists quickly spilled over into violence when a night for lesbians interested in the leather scene was attacked by crowbar-wielding feminists. Today, the target has become transgender women. Gay Star News reports that trans activists responded to Ms. Parker's stickers by saying that anti-trans separatists are fixated on trans people, when in reality women are struggling with austerity and other issues that need immediate attention. Meanwhile, one person noted there is a design flaw in these stickers and that all people need is a nice thick marker pen and you could modify the literature to read trans women are women.
Mental health organisations have united to distance themselves from a remark from the ever opinionated and someone would say no longer relevant politician Anne Widdecombe. Ms. Widdecombe, who used to be a Conservative member of the Westminster Parliament, now has been appointed MEP for the Brexit Party, which won 29% of the overall vote at recent polls. It is important to note that European parliamentary elections, votes are cast for the party and not the candidate, except for those standing as true independents. So Ms. Widdecombe's appointment does not mean that 29% of people support her viewpoint on everything. Pink News takes up the story and explains that in an unsettling interview, Ms. Widdecombe announced that she hoped that science would find a way of eradicating homosexuality. LGBT activists will take comfort from the fact that many sources condemn the remarks, with the Daily Mirror putting them on the front page as an example of her extreme ideology. Online, many gay people pointed out that Ms. Widdecombe was opposed to women's rights to choose abortion, but that her anti-gay remarks seemed to flip-flop on this when there was a chance she could be rid of LGBT people through genetic tests. It is not the first time she has been found to be inconsistent in her statements. In a 2014 television interview, she seemed unaware that the European Court of Human Rights is totally separate from the institution of the European Political Union. And during the struggle for marriage equality, which she opposed, Ms. Widdecombe speculated that anti-gay groups should take disobedient action to stop the march of equality. Critics noted that they could then be arrested and charged under the Criminal Justice Act of 1994, a piece of legislation which she has avidly supported.
Meanwhile, some positive and inspirational news, which is always welcome. Jawandeep Kohli, a Sikh bisexual baker and a brain scientist, has gone viral on Twitter after posting a picture of a lovely turban themed in a rainbow flag design. Mr. Kohli posted the photo to mark the beginning of traditional pride season. Pink News says that in an age of internet hate and division, Mr. Kohli was delighted to receive the love and support of the LGBT population on Twitter. He wrote, "I'm proud to be a bisexual, bearded, baking, brain scientist. I feel fortunate to be able to express all these aspects of my identity and will continue to work towards ensuring freedom for others." Mr. Kohli lives in San Diego and he says that he made the turban himself, but that he has had a decade or so of practice.
And finally, Bristol-based cultural activist Izzy Cross has been in touch to say that the internet channel she works with, Nudes Radio, will be airing a Pride Weekend takeover. Full details will be announced soon, but the station, which broadcasts online from studios in the city centre of Bristol, will be taken over from, by LGBTQ talent to mark Bristol Pride. For more information, visit the Nudes, spelt N-O-O-D-S, radio Facebook page. Meanwhile, for live coverage of the main festival day itself, you might be interested to know that Shoutout is providing a cornucopia of exclusive live reports, music and entertainment direct from the main stage at Pride on Saturday the 13th of July. Stand by in the coming weeks for full details.
So for these news stories and more, you can visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Andy Hole
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Right, Bison's up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out podcast.
To be with you, Mr. Big. Seem kind of fitting, seeing as we had lots of Bisons showing their support for Ken earlier today. Well, not just earlier today, actually. I mean, they've been really supportive the whole way through.
Absolutely, so. ongoing campaign. Yes.
Now, of course, regular listeners will, well, I say not just regular, those have been listening for a long time, will know that we have quite a history with the Bisons, dating all the way back to when they first ever hosted the Union Cup here in the UK, and we actually live broadcast a thing all day, and I think we had half of Europe listening at that point. So
it was a wonderful day, wasn't it?
I'm very, very pleased to say that we've got the Bisons coach on the line, Ben. Very warm welcome, shout out, Ben.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hello.
Before we come and talk to you, Terry, can you give us some of the background behind this? In case, I mean, it's been all over the news, I know, but there may be the odd listener that is not aware of what's going on. So kind of
as you
give
say,
us kind of like what's gone on to date so
as
far.
As you say, it's been breaking on the news all day, actually. I know Channel 4 News has covered it. Even last night, actually, I saw that the pro-Russian television station Russia Today was covering it.
Oh, really?
So everybody has been reporting on it. So in terms of publicity, it's a really big issue. And Ken Macaria, who is a 39-year-old player with the Bristol Bisons, has been told that he has to leave the country. Now, he's been campaigning. He applied for asylum on the basis of his sexuality 10 years ago when he first came to the United Kingdom to study for a master's. But the Home Office have contacted him and said that he has to leave. So today, Channel 4 said that there was a lovely display that to the sound of Gloria Gaynor's I Am What I Am, Ken and his teammates arrived at the police centre, where I understand that they didn't arrest him, but they have told him that he has to go. So Ken comes from Kenya, where homosexuality is punishable by 14 years in prison. And in actual fact, activists have recently, unfortunately, lost a case where the High Court in Nairobi said, no, we're not going to strike down colonial era laws. And it's really quite strange that a lot of the laws in African countries against homosexuality date from Britain, you know, yeah. Britain being there and the British Empire back in the day.
So I'm assuming there is a real risk of...
Yes.
If he gets deported back there, he could end up in jail.
Yeah, a Washington-based TV station reported that, you know, there's also a great deal of anti-gay feeling in the general public as well. You know, homophobic attitudes are very common. At the same, I mean, there is a gay scene in Kenya, but it's very underground and people are persecuted. So hence Ken's grounds for applying for asylum.
Well, Ben, were you there today?
I was, yes. Hello again. Hi.
Hi, Ben.
Yes. No, there was a lot of us down there today. Unfortunately, it's all come at the same time as we're off to the Union Cup.
I was going to say, because half the team are most of them are over in Ireland at the moment, aren't they?
Sort of two, three quarters of them are currently either arriving or already in Ireland, and the rest of us are going out tomorrow. But we still got sort of 14 of us down there, along with, there's about 60 in total, various different support groups and organisations. So lesbian, gay, support the migrants, the Bristol branch. So some people who travel down from London. There was the Somerset Trade Union branch for there. There's a support group called Neon. I can't remember all of them, but there was a really, really big turnout. Quite a lot of just random people from Bridgewater up as well.
And I saw it because it went up on Facebook and instantly got liked. I mean, last time I looked, there were nearly 1,000 likes on it, which was brilliant. So, what have they said then? Are they absolutely adamant that they're going to deport him?
So, yes, I mean, as it stands, all we've managed to achieve today is Ken has not been detained for deportation today. Beyond that, I mean, that in itself is a positive thing. That's a big victory.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Nothing in terms of his legal situation has changed. Mm. He could be. He has to report to the police station at the first Thursday of every month as part of his conditions. And, you know, next month, the month after, next week, he could be, you know, someone could turn up and take him away. So what we've got today is great, but it's by every means it's not over at all.
Yeah.
We're hoping for a judicial review, which will buy him at least 14 days when he cannot be removed, which will look at the ruling again. Beyond that, we're going into a legal territory I don't fully understand, but that's where we are at the moment.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, it's been amazing the support that the Bisons have given, and also the wider community with the voice of the Bisons.
Yeah.
Be quite a challenge for you guys, because obviously rugby's your speciality, not law and immigration.
No. I mean, yeah, I'm a rugby coach. I'm a rugby player as well. I've played for 20-odd years, clubs up and down the country, various different levels, and never, you know, unsurprisingly, I've never been in a situation like this. Our president, Murray Jones, has done a fantastic job. He's has made himself almost an expert on immigration law. He's done a wonderful job of liaising with the media. So, you know, our social media guys have been brilliant at getting the word out. And although, yes, we've been, you know, maybe the primary group that have been there, as you say, the communities around him, the people of Bristol, have really rallied round. There's, you know, petitions with over 106,000 signatures on. There's a crowdfunders going with loads and a decent amount of money in it so far. And I think the general population on the whole are looking at his case and going, hang on, this just isn't fair. This is a guy who's worked in Britain, in Bristol. He's contributed, he's paid his taxes. He's never committed a crime. He's never had any trouble with any sort of law and order. He's never done anything illegal while he's here. The letter from the Home Office that they wrote to him and sent to him on Monday with the details of his and the rejection of his asylum claim detailed the many ways in which it's not safe to be an LGBT person in Kenya, and then say, but it's fine, we're going to send you back anyway. And I think people have really understood this very simple message. That's not fair.
So can I ask, because I did see on Facebook that you'd also tried to get hold of his MP. Has there been any progress with that? Has he responded to your calls?
He has. There has been an acknowledgement today. Since it was reported that he was not going to be deported today, James, I believe it's James Hegarty, but I'm not sure of the pronunciation. He has got in contact with Ken. But that has only happened since he has not been deported. I know he was more actively involved back in November when this was first an issue that arose. But there hasn't been much from him on this front this time. There has been a lot from various other politicians. Caroline Lucas, Diane Abbott, Lord Hayworth, Baroness Wasey have all been sort of tweeting support and encouraging people to help. So there has been political support in that way. He has been a little bit slow on the uptake, I think.
Yeah. Right.
But it's great that those other names are getting involved, because, I mean, Caroline Lucas and Diana, but they're heavyweight politicians, aren't they? They're very respected.
I mean,
you know,
they are. I mean, Diane Abbott, bless her, she's put this tweet out, and we knew that she sent this tweet, and she has received utter hatred on Twitter for supporting us.
Really?
Within the group that we've got going to support Ken, the warnings were from other people, don't start scrolling through the comments, because it's horrific. And unfortunately, yeah. Diane Abbott is an outspoken, powerful woman, and people are scared of that. So they will fight back against her, but she's still come out and supported us, and I think that's fantastic.
Good. Yeah. So, well, I won't ask how Ken is feeling, because I can imagine he's probably beside himself. Is he managing to still carry on some resemblance of normal life? Is he playing with you guys? Is he out there in Ireland?
He can't come to Ireland. Because if you came to, obviously, Dublin, you'd be leaving the EU.
Yes.
EU, sorry, dangerous topic, the UK. he'd be leaving the UK, so he wouldn't be able to get back in. So there's no way he can come to Dublin. He will be supporting us from afar. He normally supports us in everything we do. In terms of his normal everyday life, he's not been able to work since November because he hasn't had a right to work here. So what he spends most of his time doing is supporting volunteer groups and community groups, and I imagine he will carry on doing that. I know there is an organised process, a very quick organised process outside the Home Office tomorrow, I believe at 5 p.m. And I think there is a concurrent one in Bristol at the same time. I'm sure he will be prominent at one of those with his support group. And he will, as best he can, I imagine he will just carry on as normal because that's the kind of person he is.
Cool. Well, I mean, we would absolutely love it if there's any way, if he would like to come on the show and talk to us live. And we'd also love to catch up with you guys after you've been in Ireland and find out how you've done as well. So,
yeah, that's
I mean, if there's anything we can sort out in the next few weeks and perhaps get you and Ken here in the studio with us, that would be really good if we can. Perhaps we'll talk to you about that off air. Listen, we're rapidly running out of time, but if any of our listeners want to do anything to help, what's the best thing they can do? Is there info on your website or something that they can go check out?
So if you check any of the Bristol Bison social media, so Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, which are just Bristol Bisons, there'll be links on there. The main two ways to support at the moment are to sign the petition on change.org. So change.org, stop Ken's deportation. It's on, as I said earlier, it's about 160,000 signatures and climbing at the moment, but the more support on there, obviously, the more power that has. And the second thing is we have a crowdfunder going on chuffed.org, again, stop Ken's deportation, because sooner or later this is going to come down to a legal fight, and we need to be able to help Ken pay for that, because he obviously has he can't work at the moment, he has no means of paying for it himself. So any financial support would be greatly appreciated, because it will mean so much and it will really help out. And then anyone who's around in Bristol tomorrow, look out for the protests, which will be around in the centre. Feel free to go and join that as well, because again, all support as visible as possible is great. Share, retweet, repost, all those things, as many much awareness as possible is great.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, listen Ben, I know it was very short notice us trying to get hold of you, but thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us, especially when you've got so much going on, not only with Kim but also with the Union Cup.
We're looking forward to thinking about rugby again for a weekend.
Thank you for
having us.
And genuinely, we'll get in contact with you after the show, see if we can sort something out, perhaps catch up with you in a week or two.
That would be brilliant.
And to all the Bisons who I hope are over there in Ireland listening, we do wish you the best of luck with the Union Cup, and we will make sure that we catch up and get the scores out next week, because you're going to win. We know you're going to win.
Definitely win.
So thanks ever so much, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Make your own kind of music. That's Paloma Faith doing that version. Lovely.
We should all make our own kind of music.
A couple of very quick things. If you were expecting the Kiki podcast tonight, apologies. We just didn't get it together in time to be able to broadcast tonight. They will be live in the studio towards the end of the month. And we have got their podcast. We will try and get it out the next few weeks for you. Apologies for that. We were also saying, if you are affected by anything to do with the asylum stuff that we were talking about, there are some very good sites out there.
Lots of organisations that can help. I mean, I've just been looking at some of them today. There's the UK Lesbian and Gay Immigration Group. Here in Bristol, there's Bristol Refugee Rights, which is a wider group which supports all asylum seekers. Migrant Help is a good website. Peter Tatchell, Human Rights Foundation, there's good advice for LGBTQ asylum seekers there. So do a good search on the internet and you'll find lots and lots of support out there as well.
Yeah. And like I said, we, as a positive thing, good luck to the Bisons, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because all the stuff that they've been doing to help,
it would be really good to see them do some fun and win some rugby,
which is what they want to do at their heart, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's what they're there for.
And enjoy it.
That's what I enjoy.
I've never been to Dublin. We could broadcast that. That would have been fun.
Dublin's a nice city. I've been to Dublin. It's beautiful. Yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah. As indeed are rugby players.
I'm sure you would agree.
You see that nice segue there? Yeah. To rugby players.
You'll make them all blush now you said that, won't you?
I say it's those big thighs and muddy shorts.
It's the shorts and those tight tops.
It might rain, you never know. Anyway, that's it for this week. Remember, comments and views are what we'd love to hear. Email us studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Or, of course, check us out online for how to get in touch, as well as podcasts and more about us, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we're talking to the Quakers. But for myself, the lovely Hans, Terry and Andy, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.